This is episode number 430 with NBA basketball star Mike Conley.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to the School of Greatness podcast. We have another fellow friend from Ohio. That's right. You guys know that I'm from Ohio, and I love when I get to interview other people who are from Ohio or who have done amazing things in Ohio. And Mike Conley is a former basketball player at The Ohio State, and he is also an NBA basketball player for the Memphis Grizzlies. He is a point guard, and he has played with the Grizzlies since being drafted fourth overall in the 2007 draft. And recently, he passed Pau Gasol to become the all-time leading scorer in the franchise history. And he's also created history with his five-year, $153 million contract, as it's the highest paid contract of any basketball player of all time. Very cool to hear his story and to hear what he's done and all of his hard work, how it's paid off. Some of the things we talk about are how to cultivate a champion's mindset and really what it was like growing up with a father who was an Olympic medalist and how he trained and conditioned his mind growing up to be where he's at today. We also talk about Mike's pregame ritual to get his mind ready before every single game, what he does. I think you're going to find it fascinating. Also, how to get back on track if you feel off in any way from your usual game. What Mike is most proud of off the court, his non-negotiables that he practices every single day, and so much more. Guys, I hope you enjoy this one. Make sure to share it with your friends, lewishowes.com/430. Tag me on social media, tag Mike as well, and you got all the show notes for Mike and his social and where you can connect with him back at the link. All right, guys, without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Mike Conley.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com/greatness. NetSuite.com/greatness. Again, head to NetSuite.com/greatness.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
All right, welcome everyone to the School of Greatness podcast. We have the legend, Mike Conley, in the house, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Good to meet you. Yeah. You know, I had to wear the Ohio State shirt. Anytime I get to connect with someone from Ohio or that played at Ohio State,
it's always fun for me. And we've got some mutual friends with Brandon from Lamp Apparel. So very excited, man. You've had an incredible 10-year career with the same team in the NBA. You're the highest paid NBA player of in history.
Yeah.
You made history, which is amazing. And you've just done some incredible things since you've been playing, man. And you also grew up with a father who was an Olympian. Is that correct?
Yeah,
he won a triple jump. Is that what he
won? Yeah, he won the triple jump in 92.
92? Yeah, and then he was a long jumper as well.
Long jumper. Did everything, but those were his main events.
Amazing, man. And that must have been cool to have a father who had that athletic mind to kind of like teach and train, I would think, right?
Yeah, it was very cool, but it was normal for me, so I didn't know what was what it was like for most people, but for me it was like to see him, running and jumping and sweating and doing all that was just like, oh, dad's just doing what he does, not realizing how cool of an experience that is for a kid to be able to watch that and learn from it.
So he was at the Olympics. How old were you when he won?
I was five.
Wow.
I was five when he won. So I was just at the age where I kind of knew what was going on. And, at the same time, I didn't really grasp what he had did until I got a little bit older.
Sure. That's cool. And would you say he was the most influential person in your life growing up, or was someone else more influential?
Well, I think both of my parents. Mm-hmm. My dad being one because of his ability, on the track and field, when he's running and preparing for what he does, and his mindset and the things that I got to feed off of him and learn from him, things that were priceless. You can't find that, in most households. And my mom, with my dad being gone all the time, she was raising, me and my brothers and my sister, basically solo for the most part, because he's always training or always in different country competing, and we couldn't always be together. So she was as strong a woman as I've ever met, and always was positive, always was making sure that we had everything we needed to be successful, for whatever we wanted to be in life. So that was those two people were definitely it.
What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned from both your mom and your dad?
From my mom, I think, is patience. Patience is the one thing that I get from her, not from my dad. My dad doesn't have – he's more of a loose cannon than I am. But we say he has, like, attention deficit disorder or something where he's always just doing stuff. But, my mom just, always preached patience. Things will come. Just continue to work. Continue to stay dedicated. Things like that, and your time will come. And I believe that. And slowly but surely, that's how my life kind of played out.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that happened. And my dad is the biggest thing I learned from my dad is preparation. I was in ice tubs and ice bags and stuff like that when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, learning how to treat your body, learning how to maintain things, learning how to prepare the night before a game. Most kids are just going to sleep, staying up night, playing video games, doing whatever. I'm in an ice tub or doing this, that, and the other, and then, eating pasta, making sure I'm eating the right meals before the day of the game, not just the day of. So those things really kind of prepared me for the next level as I kept getting older and older.
That's cool. And you got to, it's pretty cool you got to play with Greg Oden growing up. Was that just in high school, or was that even before then?
And me and Greg, we met in sixth grade. So
was he like a 7-foot beast then, or what?
He was like 6'6", about 6'6", 6'7", but still was like, for that age, he was 7-footer.
He was a beast.
So it was amazing to have that kind of a friend.
Yeah.
But for us to have played together all through middle school, high school, and to go to college was just like a dream for me, because he made the game easy. He made the game fun, for having a guy like that and that talented.
Do you think you'd be in the same position now if you didn't have him kind of in those 4 or 5 years of high school?
I really doubt it. I really doubt it. I think that I've learned over the time that you don't get anywhere by yourself, and I've learned that the relationship that we've had, the things that we helped each other get over, the obstacles we've had to get over. I mean, we were the most competitive two people you'd meet. We'd always in practices or shoot arounds or anything, in open gyms, we'd always be on the opposite teams because we wanted to beat each other.
Wow.
So it was constantly trying to, beat each other, the first one in the gym, who's going to be the first one in, who's going to be the last one to leave, that kind of thing was going on. But we're always competing. So, it was that kind of relationship helped push me, helped push him. And you know, I honestly think I wouldn't be in the same position if I hadn't had that.
Sure. Wow. Who was the best player you ever played against in from high school till before till college? From
to college?
Yeah.
Best high school player? Gosh. I would have to say OJ Mayo was pretty good. In high school was pretty unbelievable, actually.
Yeah.
that I got to play against. I never got to play against LeBron or any of those guys who were a little bit older, but he was phenomenal. I mean, he could do everything, and you know, he was already 6'5" or whatever he is.
Developed,
he was already developed, so he was just that much better than everybody.
Man child.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But what about at college for when you were there?
College, the best player, I think, you know, I think it was for me, it was probably when we played North Carolina. It wasn't just one player. It was like Ty Lawson. It was Wayne Ellington. It was Brandon Wright, Tyler Hansbrough. They had like a team full of NBA players. So it was just that kind of like shocked you right away. Like, man, these guys are, you know, good. So that was that was an experience.
Yeah. What about the most memorable moment from high school until now in a game?
Oh my gosh. Most memorable moment from high school until now. Probably for me still to this day is the Xavier Ohio State game when we were in the NCAA tournament and we were down maybe 3 points with 5 seconds left and the guy goes to the line and misses 2 free throws and we get the rebound and go up the court and Ron Lewis hits a deep three to tie it and we go into overtime and from overtime I had like 11 or 12 straight points and we win.
Wow.
And we had no business winning that game, but that game propelled us to, you know, eventually going to the Final Four, eventually going to the championship game, and easily just one shot, you know,
there would have been
changes
no chance.
Everything,
wow.
You know. So that one moment, I think, is the one thing that sticks out to me more than anything.
Now, I'm curious about this is actually a question that Brandon sent over to me. He said, "How did growing up with a gold medalist affect the way you looked at success? Did the pressure ever get to you, or did it drive you forward?"
Well, the pressure never got to me. I think I always expected to win. I always expected to succeed.
You did, or your dad?
I did.
Wow, really?
I didn't expect. He didn't think that for me. It was something I already had just from being around. Being around success, you be like you like when you go into something, you're like, I'm gonna win.
Wow.
There's no way. I don't think about the opposite. Like you don't think about what if I don't win. What if I don't make this shot? It's just all about like, all right, we're winning tonight. How are we going to do it?
You know, wow.
And that's the mindset that I had. And it was funny because in high school all the way to college, we literally, you know, we probably lost 8 games in 5 or 6 years total, going up from 9th grade up to, you know, 12th and then to college. So and even in college, we lost 4 games and one being in the championship game. So, we were just, I was trained that way just to think positive, think about the, how you're going to win, not how, you know, what if you fail type
thing.
So,
right. With a fear of like, oh, we might not win.
Right.
A lot of people are stuck because they're afraid of losing.
Exactly.
Or they're afraid if they're an entrepreneur of putting out a business project that's not going to work. So they never actually even start it.
Exactly.
Because they're crippled by fear.
Exactly.
So how would you teach someone or what would you share with someone watching or listening on how they could cultivate or train themselves to have this, I guess, champion's mindset, this winning mindset?
Yeah. Well, understanding that, you know, fear isn't all bad. I think fear drives some people to work a little bit harder, like just the fear of the unknown or whatever.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, like my coach once told me, Lionel Hollins said, a scared man can't win. So I always took that to heart, thinking like if you go out there believing that you can win, believing you can be successful no matter what you do, whether it's with business or on the court or, you know, in a classroom. If you believe you can do it, if you believe you and you failed, you know you gave everything you had to it at that point and you just didn't have enough. But if you go out there and you just cripple yourself and you literally paralyze yourself by putting those, you know, those thoughts in there like, oh, my God, I don't know if I'll be ready for this test. I don't know if I'm. You won't be ready.
No chance.
You know, you won't be successful. You won't win. You won't have a shot. And those are, you know, the mental mindset, you know, just to being able to constantly positively reinforce yourself, just to think in those terms, just like, I can do this. And you say, I can and I will. as opposed to I don't know, maybe, you know, there's no doubt. So, you know, just make sure that you continue to have that positive belief.
When you have a loss in the NBA now, how do you bounce back from it? Or what do you think about? Do you just kind of eliminate it and then go back into this positive mindset? Or do you start to doubt yourself at all? Or how does it work?
Well, for us now, since we play so many games, when we lose, I try to what I do is I give myself a night. So that night I watch the film. I watch what we could have did better, what I could have did better, where I messed up to improve. And after that night is over, I move on to the next game or the next task, you know, because if you – it's one thing to lose and sit there and dwell on it and keep yourself in that moment and constantly be thinking like, you know, oh, my God, I messed up on this play or that play, and then it continues to happen and you're constantly thinking about it. And there's one way to – and there's another thing to, you know, fix that issue by going back and saying, all right, I'm a put everything I got into this for this next – 7-8 hours and learn from my mistakes and go out here and improve on it. And if, like I said earlier, if you're good enough and you win, you win. Sometimes you give everything you got and you don't win, and that happens. But as long as you know that you're prepared for it and you did your, you know, your work, your homework on it, and you go out there and you, you know, prepare, you can't be as upset when it comes to
you give
to
your
losing.
Best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a ritual or a routine that you have either the night before a game or a couple hours before a game that sets you up to have this mindset that you like, either it's a mantra you say or something that you do on the court or in your room? Is there something that you do that sets you up?
Yeah. Well, I have a, I have a long routine, I should say, but it starts,
I'm interested.
It starts from when I wake up in the morning. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I get myself ready. Just like, I might not get out of bed for 20 minutes. I'll just sit there and close my eyes and just be thinking about what I'm going to do that day. Like in that game later that night, like what my shot feels like, what, you know, how my legs feel, putting myself in that moment. And I actually learned that from one of the, our Navy SEAL, we had a Navy SEAL guy come speak to us, and he spoke to us right before I came back from when I broke my face in one of the games. I came back, you know, 6 or 7 days later, and my eyes were still swollen and stuff, and I had a mask on and all this. And he was just like, let me talk to you for a second. And he preached all this, you know, mental preparation, all this, you know, foresight and basically meditation, you know, being able to sit there and think about what you're doing ahead of time to prepare yourself. So that's something I do every morning to get ready for that, because at that point, then I know that I'm prepared, you know, for my shoot around, for my workout, for my lift, going all the way up into when, you know, layup lines and the tip ball, the national anthem, all that stuff I think about and put myself in that position. And then when I'm there in that position, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've been here. I know what I'm doing. I feel good. And then I know I'm ready to go. You know, some days I might lose focus. I might, you know, baby might be crying. I have all kinds of things going on. I'm like, man, I don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm in my, I didn't prepare like I should have today. And I just feel off. And those days I don't play as well. And I already know it. I mean, right away. So it's just.
Wow.
And my wife knows, her family knows, like, don't bother me on game days. I don't want to be having to worry about tickets. I don't want to have to worry about who's
talk to your
where.
Wife or whatever.
Yeah, you got to talk to somebody, talk to her. Don't come in the room when I'm there, when I'm taking a nap, because I'm not just sleeping. I'm like
preparing
and focusing, and don't want to have to be disturbed, you know, in that whole process, even if it's 6-7 hours before a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you are, let's say you're feeling off, like in warm-ups or in the first quarter of a game, is there a way that you can, I guess, readjust your mindset to get back on track? Or is it kind of like, we'll just make the best of it this whole night? Or,
you know, that's something that I've learned over the, you know, last 5 or 6 years, just, you know, trying your best to, I guess, refocus your attention on the now. You know that you know that you might have messed up somewhere in your
day
coming to this point that you're at now. All right, so now what, you know, close your eyes. Now what can you do to help going forward? What can you do? How can you refocus? How can you get your body back into that mode? Get your mind back in that mode? And that's something I try to do. You know, if I feel I'm off, I'll try to readjust it right before a game. Just sit there and put my head down on the bench right before the national anthem or something, right before the starting lineups, and try to visualize again, like just emphasize certain things, re-emphasize, you know, holding my arm up during shots, you know, just things that are technical that I know that muscle memory to take over if I continue to, you know, just go out there and play.
That's cool. What's something you've done that you're most proud of that maybe not a lot of people know about you?
What have I done?
People know about your stats and awards and contracts, but what's something that maybe is a smaller thing or something behind the scenes or that's not on video?
I think the one of the biggest things that I've been able to do because of the opportunity I've been given in this league is helping people I love get through different obstacles, such as I have a friend I helped get through college and see him graduate, you know, that he wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that. And for him to be so, you know, thankful, so grateful. And same thing for my sister is going to be actually the first one to graduate out of all of our
because you left after your first year.
I left early, so she's going to beat me to it. But I'm going to catch her, though. You know, she's going to graduate before me. And just seeing her, you know, being able to walk up there and accept her, you know, diploma and just see her, you know, be so happy. I mean, and degrees, I mean, the stuff that she wants to do now is, I feel like I had a big part.
That's cool.
And helping, you know, her get through that. So, I mean, it's just cool to see people I love progress because of, you know, me being able to help in any other way.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Yeah. Now, you're from the Midwest, so I got to believe you have a pretty good heart and pretty good grounded community of friends and family. But is, you know, when everyone that you've known your whole life sees this huge contract that you get, is there a challenge with having, like, this new money that's coming in and everyone knowing, hey, can I get a little money here and here? Right. Is that a struggle for you to kind of manage that, or have you been able to do it gracefully?
I've been thankful enough to not have too many people. Takers. I say too many, but there's been, you know, some struggles here and there over the years. I mean, not even just with the new contract, but even before when you first get to the NBA, there's always going to be people asking just one time, can you help me do this? One time.
$1,000. Give me this.
Can you help me put a down payment on this? And I'm just like, you know, I learned early, especially from my mom, you know, you can help people in so many different other ways, not just giving them, you're just giving. You got to, you know, hey, I'll help sign you up for this program or this class to help mm-hmm. you know, get a job in that field that you want to be in. You know, something along those lines, except, you know, especially allows them to learn how to be independent and learn how to get it on their own, as opposed to always, if they get it from me one time, they're going to keep coming back. So
empowering as opposed to enabling,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I like that. What's a non-negotiable for you on a daily basis? Are there any things that are non-negotiable, like every day I have to do this, I have to eat a certain way or meditate or I have to play golf or whatever it is, you know, I've got to, you know, say something to my wife or, you know, is there something that's a non-negotiable?
I think one is I will never leave the house without kissing, you know, my son and my wife, you know, if they're there and you know, if we're around each other, that's non-negotiable. It's definitely going to happen, you know, regardless, because that's just how I am.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Is that pretty much...
That's about it. Everything else, I'm pretty much, you know, I'm open. I'm an open, open book, open-minded. I'm like, if you ask me what I'm going to do the rest of the day, I'll just tell you, I don't know.
There you go.
Whatever.
Got it.
Whatever comes my way. Yeah. You know?
The beautiful thing about being a pro athlete is they have the schedule for you for things you need to do already, right? Everything's
right.
scheduled. You're like, just show up and practice this, lift, just
be
ice.
On time.
That's it.
Be ready to go. That's
Take
it.
Action. That's cool. Who's your biggest mentor or teacher today?
Biggest mentor or teacher today. Gosh. I've had so many over my career, but I think one of them is David Porter. He's a recording artist. Back in the day, he did a lot of stuff with Isaac Hayes. He wrote the song, you know, Hold On, I'm Coming. You know, all that good music back in the day.
Sure,
so he's got, you know, so many records, but he's from Memphis. Lives there now. And we golf together, we hang out in off season and I constantly pick his brain. I constantly learn from him because he's successful in what he does. He's one of the more successful people in his industry and to understand where his mindset is and what, you know, what can I learn from a guy like this? What can I take away? His work ethic and his drive and what drives him, what makes him different. And those are things that, you know, we talk about a lot, and it's cool to have a friend like that is not associated with basketball, but still can give you the life lessons.
That's cool. What's the biggest thing you've learned from him so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing for him has just been probably just, you know, humility in everything you do, you know, honoring those before you. It's not about you, you know, it's not about you at the end of the day. It's about those who helped you, those people who got you, helped get you where you're at, how you can affect other people. And it's just the selfless mindset. And that's the most important thing.
Man. Yeah. You seem like such a humble, grateful guy. You've created so much, but you seem like just a down to earth, good dude. You know, it's the first time we've interacted. And I wasn't really sure what to expect, but being from, you know, you're from Indiana, correct?
Yeah.
But Midwest, you're a neighbor to Ohio. So I was like, this guy's got to be a good dude. But I'm just like so impressed with your humility.
Thank you.
And, you know, the thought that you're saying, you know, thinking about people who have been there before you, the people that have helped raise you, the people that have really supported you, because it isn't about just us. You know, you didn't do this on your own.
Right.
It took hundreds of people probably from every different stage of your life to set you up to be here.
Yeah.
So that's really cool, man. I really appreciate that from you. Is there anything you regret in your life?
Gosh.
You regret not going back a second year to Ohio State? Or
I think that would be one of my first ones. I wish I could have won before I left. Mm-hmm. I think that would be one I always think about. I wish I could have won that championship and before I went moved on. But at the same time, I can't say I regret it fully, because I think me having to go through what I went through at the time, being drafted and being on a team that – literally lost 60 games, you know, my rookie year.
Yeah, because you were the fourth pick, right?
Yeah, fourth pick, and we weren't very good, and the next year we weren't very good. I mean, it was a culture shock for me to have to go from always being up here.
The best your whole life.
Yeah, to now you're at the bottom. Ugh. Now you don't have many fans in there cheering for you. They're, you know, they're angry, they're booing, all this stuff. So I went through a lot, you know, a lot of criticism, all that stuff that comes with it. So I think all that really helped me, you know, kind of reinvent myself, especially mentally, physically, everything. I just worked that much harder. And I don't know if I would have had that maybe if I, you know, won a championship and right. been all high and mighty and I got drafted a different position and I was on a good team or whatever, things could have been different. So I'm just happy that I went through what I did.
Yeah. Wow. And what's the biggest adversity you've faced from childhood to now, would you say, that you've had to overcome?
Biggest thing I've happened to overcome.
Was it always easy for you growing up as well? Was it like?
It was never easy. I would say that I was good at basketball. Now I was really, really good at basketball, but the things that I was the smallest person.
You're tiny.
I was the smallest person in, on all of my teams. So it was me having to constantly play. And I never played my age group. So I was always playing. If I was 12, I was playing with 17-year-olds. So
wow.
I was always small. So it was just like for me, it was always trying to balance the fact that, yeah, I'm getting beat up. I'm too little. I understand that. But understanding that I'm still 5 years younger than these guys, or I'm
right.
4 years younger than these guys, and I'm not that bad. I'm that, you know, I'm this
you're
good.
Still scoring, you're still
yeah. right. So that was one thing for me, was just understanding that I can be great. It's just I have to continue to believe that. Mm-hmm. But you know, playing up, I think helped develop
cool.
that a little bit.
That's cool. And now you're up for the All-Star team nominations right now, is that right?
Yeah.
And yeah. We find out hopefully in the next
month or so, yeah, you know, yeah. hopefully, you know, the voting started, I think, probably like last week or 2 weeks okay. ago. So fans vote, players vote.
You yeah. know, how so, important is this for you?
It'd be very important, you know, that I could make it. I think for me, it's been cool to see guys on my team over the last few years who are new to being all-stars become all-stars, because we all developed at the same time, and to see them succeed. And now it's like, all right, everybody else got one. I want to get one too now.
Yeah.
So that'd be really cool. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think if we're winning, our team is doing well, it's hard to ignore, you know, when the good teams are winning, the Absolutely. Players that they have on there. So I think everybody wins when it comes to that.
And this is your best season ever, right? In terms of like points and the stats.
Yeah. Having a great year, you know, it's having amazing. A great year, just trying to stay healthy, man, stay healthy, be on the court and, help the team.
That's it. I got a few final questions for you.
Okay.
And this is a question I ask everyone at the end of the interviews, and it's called the three truths.
Okay.
So many, many years from now, you've achieved everything you've ever wanted to do. You've been an all-star however many times you want to be. You've won the championships. You've done things after sports. And it's your last day here on Earth many years from now, right?
Okay.
And one of your great-great-grandchildren come up and they say, for whatever reason, everything you've created, all the highlight videos, it's gone. Uh-huh. We don't have anything to remember you by. So here's a piece of paper and a pen. Can you write down the three things you know to be true from everything you've experienced in life that you would pass on to us? Essentially, your three truths or three lessons that embody you.
It's a great question. I think one would be, I think the number one would probably be that the process is more important than the actual result. When it comes to anything in life, I think if you go by the process the right way, you prepare the right way, you work the right way, you do the right things, that if you are able to succeed, you will. If you have that opportunity, it's great. Sometimes it's ups and downs. Some people get lucky. But if you don't make it and you gave everything you had to it, you did what you did. But don't be fed up if the result doesn't match what the work you put in, because you at least gave yourself that chance. And I think that's one. I think for me is always, like I said, it goes back to humility. It goes back to, you know, if you are constantly not thinking about yourself, you're constantly, you know, unselfish, you're constantly worried about the other person, you're a happier person. You're able to live life full, as opposed to just always worrying about yourself, always worrying about what you are doing, you know. But I think that'd be one.
The final one.
Gosh, that's a good one. Final one.
Man,
final one. I think it just goes. This hits on everything. Is belief. You know, have faith. Have hope. No matter how dark the time is, just always have faith, always have hope and believe in yourself, because whatever situation you're in, there's a way out. There's a way you can get there, and you have to constantly, you know, be pushing that into your mind, just believing and confidence and just knowing that you can do something even when somebody tells you you can't. And even when a door shuts, you know, open the next one, you know, go that way, you know, and just not, you know, be okay with stopping at that door and saying, oh, this is what God gave me, or this is my situation. I started here and this is where I'm in. Just continue to rise.
Right. That's cool. So, I love it. Those are great truths, man. Yeah. Thanks for that. Before I ask the final question, I want to take a moment, Mike, to acknowledge you for your incredible heart, man. You've got such a big heart. You're so humble and you're so driven to be the best that you can be. And you're such an example of what's possible for people. I mean, again, being like always the smallest guy, and look what you've done now. You've created history in the NBA, and you've done some incredible things. But I think what I wish people could experience about you the most is your humility and the fact that you are so humble, so giving, so caring about other people as well. It just is it's a testament to you, man. And I want to really acknowledge you for that gift. For me, that's more impressive than the stuff you do in the NBA.
That's what I want to be remembered by at the end of the day. It's not what I do on the court, man.
Yeah, you're a genuine,
everything else,
genuine guy. And it's really cool, man. So I acknowledge you for that. Before I ask the final question, where do you like to hang out the most online? What's your, do you like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? Where are you most?
Should
we follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram.
I love the IG, man.
Yeah, Mac11 is my name, MAC11.
Okay.
So it's, that's my number one, probably Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I get on as well. That one's mconley11.
Okay, cool.
So both of those I get on, but, you know, for the most part, I just kind of surf and look at different pages and
look
at the funny stuff, you know.
Cool, so. Awesome. We'll follow you there. And the final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Ooh, I think my definition of greatness is, I think, not only being the best, but knowing that you are the best at whatever you do, knowing that you have achieved a level, not just not because you achieved it, but how you achieved that success, the steps you took, where you started from to where you're at, that gap is what defines greatness and what makes greatness, I think, out of anybody.
Mm. Mike, you're the man, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
There you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this interview with the incredible Mike Conley, and I enjoyed connecting with him again. Got to rep the Ohio love and dab it out, hug it out, all that stuff, talk about Ohio and Ohio State, how much we appreciate people from Ohio, things like that. It's cool to know that he lives in Columbus still in the off season. So had a great time connecting with him. If you enjoyed this interview, make sure to share it with your friends. LewisHouse.com/430. All the show notes, you can watch the full video interview back there. Connect with Mike on Instagram and Twitter and tag him as well and let him know what you thought, what you enjoyed the most about this. And also check out the YouTube channel. Guys, we hit over 100,000 subscribers in the last year. So thank you guys for all your support there. So many people, they find the YouTube channel and then they say, wow, where has this been my whole life? This is some great content and they love it. So make sure to check it out, subscribe, as we put out videos twice a week right now. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.